When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wake up! It's about truth. It's about information. It's about awesomeness.
What did he say?
Beep.
All the major internets do that.
Well, this is where we are.
Let me say it this way.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
AM 770 KTTH. Brian Suits here. What do you think's more likely? Portland bans camping or Woodland Park euthanizes a hippo? Producer Greg is in the other room.
No zebras in that scenario?
I can't find it, and I did inquire. Has a Monroe escapee been spotted on the escaped zebra? They can't confirm. They can confirm neither that the fourth zebra has been rounded up or that the escapee is still unaccounted for. So
that would be a sight to behold. Isn't that the Lone Ranger theme? Did I get that right?
That's William Tell, the William Tell Overture.
Oh, okay. And that's all we have to say
Rossini?
About that.
I'm trying to think of the composer.
Rossini. Well done. Well played, fine sir. You have many leather-bound books, I'm sure.
I do. And you know what, by the way, speaking of what a great weekend I had, you can hear more about it if you text APP to 800-465-8770, and we plug our socials, and you can listen to the award-winning first hour. I'm thinking real hard about actually Saturday Barbara Seville date night.
What does that mean, Barbara Seville date night?
Barbara of Seville.
Oh,
it's
okay.
An opera by Giacomo Rossini.
Your weighty references are lost on me sometimes.
For people who've never seen one, what the Seattle Opera is doing, it's a great gateway drug for that. Just hit after hit after hit. You can't beat Mozart, not anymore anyway. And anyway, Water Lily, I didn't know this. We're not a frequenter of your Woodland Park Zoo. Wasn't there a beloved gorilla there for a long time? Every zoo has a beloved gorilla.
Doesn't strain credulity.
I saw the world's only captive albino gorilla in Barcelona, Snowflake. The one here, I can't remember anything or its name. But anyway, Water Lily apparently is a beloved hippopotamus that's going to be euthanized.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that hippo many times at the Woodland Park Zoo. 40 years old or something like that?
Yeah.
I had no idea they lived that long.
And
it's a beautiful creature. Majestic. Dangerous, too.
The hippopotamus is the deadliest animal on the continent of Africa.
Oh, they're very murdery. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they will run you down. I mean, and you're throwing them watermelons or pumpkins, and they will run you down because you didn't bring
one
more.
Bite. Everybody knows the rules. Take care of that watermelon in one chomp.
And they will stomp you, and they will chomp your head with their big, gigantic chomper.
It's a quick death if they get the right part of the body.
There's a weird, like, double hinge.
Yeah, right.
Something, but anyway, they're euthanizing this killer water lily and
cancers.
Not sure how they're doing it or what they're
going to. Are they going to replace the thing? I'd love to see hippos stay at the Woodland Park Zoo.
I would love to, but I'm more concerned anthropologically at the opportunity that they have for the circle of life. Don't you agree?
Well, what would you replace it with, or what
do
you say?
I'd never replace it, do with it. Because, I mean, how are you going to dispose
of it? Have the zebras eat them or something, or what?
Don't they have lions at Woodland Park?
I think they got a tiger at least.
Oh, well,
and
give them some African
and
food.
And a black bear.
I would just say if there's a zoo on the West Coast, I would ask, you need any hippopotamus? Because they don't have many natural predators. Not when they're that size and that big, because lions aren't stupid. But they do have predators, and the lions wouldn't say no, is what I'm saying. So four zebras escape off the, like, first, if a zebra died, you would absolutely give it to the cheetahs or the lions. And they may not even know why. They may have been born in captivity, saying, I don't get it. What do I do with this? Anyway, four zebras on the run Sunday afternoon just off I-90. This is State Patrol spokes hat, Trooper Rick Johnson. And as of Sunday evening, they were using terms like corralled. Two had been returned to the trailer and a baby zebra, or foal. The fourth still outstanding as of this story. So how cute would a baby zebra be?
Oh,
I mean,
so sweet.
Oh, by the way.
They're crazy, though, aren't they?
I don't know what you're doing today. I'm just going to tell you, I finally gave into a social media viral explosion thing. Baby reindeer on Netflix.
Baby reindeer. Tell
baby
me
reindeer.
More.
No, I can't.
Oh.
Wow.
It's just so good. Now that I'm running out of my Shogun, I had to have a replacement, and it looks like Baby Reindeer. Is it? But anyway, so they were corralled. And
is Burl Ives in it? I mean,
no, they cut him.
It's a different kind of
cutting
reindeer?
Room floor.
Okay.
So there's nothing more exciting for our local news anchors than getting able to see. I can honestly say I've never seen anything like that or something like
zebras
that.
Zebras on the loose in North Bend. Neighbors and law enforcement came together this afternoon to wrangle three of these animals that were free on the interstate, on I-90, in fact. Tonight, one remains missing. KOMO's Jackie Kent has been tracking this for us. She's got reaction tonight from neighbors. And what's next in this most unusual case? I can't say I've ever heard of this, Jackie.
Yeah, Michelle, as you can imagine, this has been an exciting afternoon in North Bend. And I can tell you, we found out it was really a community.
I mean, exciting would be chasing people down the streets. You know, they're up by the freeway. North Bend is off the highway by a mile.
This is a lot of action for North Bend, though.
I know. And I got to say, you know, any day, if it's a sunny day on the weekend, nothing happens on the weekend. Now you got escaped zebras. And I apologize to Michelle Esmond. She did give the number that three have been corralled and one's still on the loose and the whole thing. So my bad on that one. If you haven't heard this, I'm going to replay this because Seattle PD captains and above need to learn a lesson. You sexually harass your female PIO, who is fairly universally respected. At least in this newsroom, calls back when you leave a message like, hey, I need a middle name on that sex predator that kidnapped an 8-year-old as per scheduled or whatever. And you get a call back with the correct spelling and the whole thing. So and then you make her the face of your recruiting on Facebook, that Seattle's a diverse, equitable community that tolerates any and all letters of the rainbow and, you know, whatever. And now she's part of a lawsuit because you've been harassing her. And who are you again? Oh, you're the chief. Right.
Four female Seattle police officers are accusing Chief Adrian Diaz and a top lieutenant of sexual harassment and discrimination.
Ouch. So somebody just shove a crawdad onto his finger on this. Okay, so I'll hold off on that. Hang on.
They're seeking $5 million from the city of Seattle in a filing that precedes a potential lawsuit. It also alleges the chief and his top officer have created a hostile work environment. Come with senior reporter Chris Daniels.
Everything they said it's not, you're being sued because they're accusing you of it. And they will show the receipts. They kept the emails. They kept the messages.
Live in Seattle with the allegations and reaction from the chief.
Yeah, well, a guy on balcony.
The police department heavily involved in public affairs and in the recruiting efforts in the city of Seattle. But this afternoon, they are painting a darker picture of the department. The four women say the city allowed active sexism in the department and a hostile work environment to flourish under Diaz and Public Affairs Director Lieutenant John O'Neill. Kameh Spencer, Jean Gulpan, Valerie Carson, and Lauren Truscott all allege predatory internal behavior in the complaint and that women were denied promotions after rebuffing interest by O'Neill.
And if you watch local news and you pay attention to crime in Seattle, you've probably seen three of those four fairly regularly. And this chief loves trotting them out on Facebook as examples of how far you can go in Seattle police. And yeah, so object lesson for the day for Seattle PD captains and above is don't do that. Because you look ridiculous, and people in your position cannot afford to be made to look ridiculous. But oops, too late.
And Diaz, Gulpan, up until recently, was featured on billboards advertising the department.
Hello, how are you guys doing?
And in recruiting videos distributed by the city. But she claims, among other things, she was routinely harassed on the job and passed over for a promotion. The plaintiff's attorney, Samir Singla, says the claims are related to a recent SPD internal study.
And that's what you're gonna pay for, is the passing over thing. A promotion due.
The culture of misogyny and sexism. The department did not want to release that study until the press, until the media pressured the department to release the study.
And here's the thing. You can say, yeah, well, it's a masculine culture and all that. And kind of it is. That's what people said when all combat jobs were opened up to the women's in 2005. And it is a very male culture. The culture of the infantry. And I was a cavalry officer when the women's could be branch cavalry. And because you're a professional, if someone needs help carrying something, they'll say something like, can you give me a hand, please? Or, but you do not go, let me give you a hand with that little lady or whatever. Listen, there's a way to do this professionally. And it was hard. It's really hard to tell cavalry man, not cavalry woman. And that's a scientific fact. It's really hard to explain to a cavalry man what a woman is doing wearing a cavalry Stetson. What in the hell are you doing? But it's an order. They perform. They can drive a tank because it's got power steering. And that's that. That's what disappoints me about this is how unnecessary this was. If only you weren't shooting your mouth off about how equitable and fair you were in all your recruiting materials, and then the people you had fronting those videos are now suing you. I mean, that's such a cell phone. And for that alone, you should be writing a certain letter. Who's our favorite historian? Michael Beschloss.
By far.
Okay. He absolutely pulled today. He was talking about replacement history and all this. Pulled a story completely out of his trousers. Okay.
He's the worst.
a famous joke. So after Stalin's death, there was a parade of guys who thought they were going to be the prime minister, the president of the Soviet Union. And the last guy on his way out before Khrushchev took over has a little talk with Khrushchev. And he says, listen, I left three letters in your desk. First time there's a wheat failure, open up the first letter, blame me. And then a year later, there's a big disaster to steel mine. And he opens up letter number two, and he says, Malenkov was a loser, and he didn't improve the steel factory, so that was a huge factory, so blame him again. And then there is a sorghum failure in year three. And Khrushchev opens the third letter, and it says, write three letters. That's the fun. I think it's a good joke. So anyway, for Chief Diaz, you should be writing letter number three today. I mean, this Seattle will settle, and you're part of that culture. Seattle will not fight this because it may be true. So you're just going to make it worse. It will take the fire out of the hearts of the women that have been betrayed by the department that was told them that they had a future there. If your head is on that desk at the end of the day, I mean, that's my advice. And if the city council needs to have an extraordinary meeting and show of hands, they will do it. They're all women, right? Except for the one guy, the one dude by the thing. But I mean, this is okay. You're going to roll over. You have a foreign student on a rainy night with headphones and a hood on walk in front of a car, a Seattle Police Explorer with lights and sirens at intersections. And if you told me that person killed themselves, it couldn't look any different. And you don't fight that. But the guys who made that cynical joke about what your administration does, they're suspended. You're trying to let go of them. Now, the chickens have come home to roost, and you're not going to fight this. So, I mean, I would say go. And now, if you're Seattle today, the meeting you're having is, how do we get someone to replace him? Who replaces this guy? Who would want to be the chief of police of Seattle at this point? Because, I mean, you really, I got to say, I'm a bit of a student of PR mess-ups. And my friend Dylan over here has single-handedly lost $1 billion for Buzz Light. I mean, this is the Dylan, what was his name, Mulvaney?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is the Dylan Mulvaney of public administration blank-ups of the first water, I got to say. I mean, when the person that you put out there as the face of a career with Seattle Police is the lead person suing you, then you may have problems. Okay, so here's Beschloss this morning. There was the head of Soviet secret police, the NKVD, was a guy by the name of Lavrenty Beria. And soon after Stalin, everybody hated Beria. He was not only was he a pedophile, a documented proud pedophile, but he was pursuing his own colleagues' children, and some say even molested Stalin's daughter, and lived to tell the tale. But he was not a police chief, and the fact that you're a historian and don't know that.
And I guess if he were running against Kristi Noem, it wouldn't have been
because they were talking about the South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem killing Water Lily, the hippopotamus at Woodland Park Zoo.
A good enough story that she kills puppies when it actually happened in real life. So they would have had to invent something worse, amazingly enough. But that's what authoritarian dictators do. You know, Soviet Union is exactly where they did it. When you saw people who were vilified in Pravda, let's say at the orders of Stalin, which they oftentimes were, for instance, there was a chief of police called Beria. And Beria was fired, and this was a little bit later on, the Great Soviet Encyclopedia, which was obviously published by the government. People were told to tear out the page that mentioned Beria and insert a page of the Bering Strait.
Okay. I hate it when you're that close and you're off by 10 degrees and you call yourself a historian and they call him the official MSNBC presidential historian. If his presidential history is as bad as his Soviet history, but he feels free to hold forward and quote it, then I can't trust anything the guy says. But no, they didn't replace the Beria page with a Bering Strait page. That's what drunken half-ass historians say, I guess, at name institution here. Well, where is my Ilhan Omar of the day? So I'll restate this. Is there stuff? Whenever it happens, we'll do a you know this thing is on. And so here's Ilhan Omar becoming the Anti-Defamation League's Jew hater of the day by defending what's going on at Columbia. She's there visiting her daughter, thanking her for not embarrassing her. She'll do it herself. And she's pointing out that they're really nice to all the Jewish students, the nice ones, and even the pro-genocide ones. She really does. And anyway, then this was with a mic in her face, and it really was on.
I guess if he were running against...
Oh, wait, that's that idiot. So even you pro-genocide Jews...
Do you think this will translate to the Jewish students who are facing anti-Semitism here on campus?
So I actually met a lot of Jewish students that are in the encampment. And I think it is really unfortunate that people don't care about the fact that all Jewish kids should be kept safe and that we should not have to tolerate anti-Semitism or bigotry for all Jewish students, whether they are pro-genocide or anti-genocide.
Daniel Katz is...
My theory is that she's developing a new character for improv theater. And this character is a 12-year-old Sherman Oaks gymnast who was handed today's newspaper.
That would do well at Second City.
Because where is she getting that accent? You know, that's not from either Somalia or Minnesota.
Do you think this will translate to the Jewish students who are facing anti-Semitism here on campus?
So I actually met a lot of Jewish students that are in the encampment.
Wow. In the encampment? Was she hanging out with her daughter too much? She invented Gazaa. She speaks Somali. She didn't speak Arabic. Because she's from Somalia. Or the Somali speak Somali. So anyway, pro-genocide.
And I think it is really unfortunate that people don't care about the fact that all Jewish kids should be kept safe and that we should not have to tolerate anti-Semitism or bigotry for all Jewish students, whether they are pro-genocide or...
Genocide?
Excuse me?
That sounds like me briefing the now prisoner guards at when we liberate Auschwitz. Okay, if you're anti-genocide, take off your SS uniform, pile them up over there. If you're pro-genocide, just leave it on. Or something like that. Cynical genocide joke. Not necessary on a Monday morning, Brian. Text 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770 or 8770. And if you have an opinion on how to euthanize a hippo, about how to find the last missing zebra, or whatever. Also, when we come back, where's another? Oh, John Fetterman speaks, they're running out of vagrants in Burien because they're all ODing, or are they? Back in a second, AM 770.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
A part of me, I'm more than a bird, I'm more than a plane, I'm more than some pretty face beside a train, and it's not easy to be me. I wish that I could cry.
Who could not like this guy?
Good voice, good song. Only 105 million views on YouTube.
John Ondrasik.
Ondrasik.
Ondrasik. He will not let his industry forget those who slaughtered. Forget those slaughtered at the Nova Music Festival on October 7th, and it's got him a bit on the outs in the entertainment industry. Which is, by the way, you can't be in the entertainment industry if. I mean, it's a cliche because it's a cliche. So there's that. Artists such as Ani DiFranco, Billy Bragg, a literal communist, Drake, Dua Lipa, an Albanian, Patti Smith, and Peter Gabriel have called for a ceasefire, man, for the Kurds. Music publisher BMG reportedly dropped his contract with Roger Waters, good, after the Pink Floyd founder suggested that the October 7th attack might have been a false flag operation. He's nuts. I mean, and it just proves that you can't tell someone's crazy from their music or something. But anyway, the 59-year-old Mr. Andrasik isn't keeping his head down. He appears on Fox News and on Mark Levin's radio show. He might appear on Brian Suit's radio show. We don't know. He's aggressive on Twitter in support of Israel. He is, as his stage name suggests, something of a brawler. And why are they called Five for Fighting? Because they'll kick your ass.
I don't get the reference. Yeah, I'm not sure.
On April 13th, the night before, Iran launched a barrage of missiles and drones. He performed at an outdoor concert in Tel Aviv and condemned the evil that is Hamas. Oh, that's an applause line. Come on. And then the October 7th theme song, OK, the refrain is "We are not OK" for the families of hostages still in Gaza. Haven't heard it. Haven't seen it on Spotify. Usually stuff like that, Spotify algorithms the hell out of me. I've got a couple different playlists that I would think it would appear on. But anyway, this is the song they're talking about.
Right in the streets, when we see grandmothers being pulled away to children shot in front of their families.
And the official music video uses the footage from that day of, you know, grandmothers being shot and children being beaten and kidnapped.
We are not all right when right here in the city of New York you have those who celebrate at the same time when the devastation is taking place in our city.
This is a time for choosing. This is a time to mourn.
So I'll tweet this out if you haven't seen it. You've probably seen the footage, but I mean, this lays it out that these guys are evil. Here's what they did, and here is my song. I make money by being on a stage playing music for you. And so, of course, he has to be canceled, the whole thing. And this is where just the fraud that's being perpetrated by celebrities, that there's some great noble stance and that you're okay because you're being tolerant even of the Jewish students that are pro-genocide or whatever that idiot said just a minute ago. So this is what was this a podcast? Why is Seinfeld making so much sense in this interview?
So I think he has a movie coming out that perhaps he even wrote and directed about Pop-Tarts and the breakfast cereal industry.
Is it animated?
It's a comedy. He got every big name in the business to star in it. And so he's out promoting the film and he got on a podcast and talked about the state of comedy.
Nothing really affects comedy. People always need it. They need it so badly. And they don't get it. It used to be you would go home at the end of the day. Most people would go, oh, Cheers is on. Oh, MASH is on. Oh, Mary Tyler Moore is on. All in the Family's on. You just expect it. There'll be some funny stuff we can watch on TV tonight. Well, guess what? Where is it? This is the result of the extreme left and PC crap and people worrying so much about offending other people. Mm-hmm. When you write a script and it goes into four or five different hands, committees, groups, here's our thought about this joke. Well, that's the end of your comedy. They move the gates like in skiing.
Yeah.
Culture, the gates are moving. Your job is to be agile and clever enough that wherever they put the gates, I'm going to make the gate.
Good. You know, I took a, because I had such a great weekend, I'm making promises to myself about eating better and all that. Here's my promise to the audience this week. First week of May. May starts Wednesday, right?
Sure, why not?
I will try to go all of May without dropping a name.
That's a broken promise. There's just no way.
It's not May till Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, I nearly had a great story that applies directly to the phenomena that Jerry Seinfeld is talking about. But you know what? Here's me not telling it. Doing horrible radio with a great
story. I kind of want to hear it now.
Well, I'll tell you off air.
All right, whatever.
So here is where we check your text. Some great checking the texting this morning. So people have a real challenge in front of them.
We've got a zebra text.
Oh, 206. This answers the Red Hawk question. Five for Fighting is a hockey reference. Penalty minutes for fighting.
Oh, okay.
Oh, because that's what the PA guy says. You're Seattle Thunderbirds. Here's Peter Medved. 5 minutes for fighting.
Went to a fight and a hockey game broke out. From the 509, fun facts, Brian. Zebras can make sterile offspring with other equines. Equines? Whatever. Called zebroids.
And that's the magic of the burro is a mule is it's a horse and a donkey, but it's sterile.
Do we know if the zebra on the loose is male or female? And if it's male, it could be spreading its seed quite liberally.
They do that. Yeah, but it would need a stool. It would need a stepladder. But we don't know. We better round that zebra up. He's unaccounted for. So is that escapee still from Monroe, the guy who stole an employee car and just drove out of the correctional facility.
They're in cahoots. From 562, Brian, pure coincidence, rewatched Death of Stalin this weekend. Such a dark comedy, so good. Don't think my weekend was as good as you, but pretty close.
One of the funniest movies in 10 years. One of the smartest, funniest movies of all time. Death of Stalin. And the thing is, I advise people see it, but I don't want them to not get anything.
You have to know history to appreciate the nuance and some of the jokes.
And you need to know Stalin's backstory and what it was like being on his staff and hanging out with him at the dacha, watching Westerns and drinking. Boy, who doesn't know that Five for Fighting is a hockey reference that I'm embarrassed we didn't get it. Love from Mount Vernon says, it's so sad that the hippo has to be euthanized. So sad. How about a little Fetty sprinkled on her last meal? Seriously, I don't know how they megafauna like that. I don't know how you would euthanize it, but I mean, let's do it so there's not a chemical residue. And
let's ask Christy Noem from the 425. What was Christy Noem thinking? There's not a
cheap
ranch
shop.
Kid in America.
How dare you?
Who doesn't know the three S's: shoot, shovel, and shut up. I hadn't heard that before.
Let me say third one loud. But here's the thing: I don't know why she's flexing. Is she flexing because she wants to be Trump's tough trigger man?
Exactly.
Or something?
Makes her look tough, she thinks.
If you're saying a dog was being undisciplined, that's a you thing. It's not a dog thing. And she said untrainable? No such thing. No such thing as untrainable dogs. Don't make me release my canine. Malinois, by the way, if you've ever seen a puppy Malinois, you would look at that dog and say, that's the last dog you ever want as a police dog. But you can train them. And I mean, I don't want to, breed drop on this one, but I have a hybrid coyote that guards the chickens. Yes, and the instincts on this thing, I cannot answer for the rabbits. That's the reason she survived and was found skinny in the desert was because she was surviving on rabbits. I don't have the heart to tell her because you know what? Those aren't pets. And it's like one meal I don't have to buy. So yes, she'll do that. And she knows the chicken's made out of chicken, but she has been trained and she just wanted to be good. She wanted to make us happy. And so she learned from her brother Wyatt, those aren't yum yums. Those are pets apparently or something. And also the other thing is, I promise you, because they've had fresh eggs, they understand the eggs came from the birds. It's weird. I mean, I anthropomorphize my dogs a little more than most normal people should. But when someone says, oh, I shot the dog because it was untrainable. And then part of the evidence was we took her pheasant hunting, which if you have a bird dog, that's one of the most fun times you can have, especially, chucker or pheasant, because the dog is having a blast. And it's getting exercised, and then it runs and delivers when you tell it to run, when you tell them to flush the pheasant. But if she had a dog that was just running through a barley field or whatever and chasing the pheasant, well, then that should have been your daily limit within 5 minutes. But to go and shoot the dog because it jumped out of the truck and was killing chickens, that's job one. When you introduce a dog to your place where you have chickens or children, it needs to learn the pecking order right away. So I don't know.
We have some texts in about...
Someday my border collies will speak English.
Yeah. You were talking about Colin Jost hosting the White House Correspondents' Dinner earlier.
I'm not saying both candidates are old, but Jimmy Carter is out there thinking, I could maybe win this thing.
and someone wants
He's in hospice. Isn't that hilarious? He's on final for Croak Airlines, and he made a card joke.
To pull up the 2012 White House Correspondents' Dinner where Trump was lambasted by Obama, and many think that's what put him over the edge and wanting to run for president. Mm-hmm. So I have that clip if you want to play it coming back.
Yeah, that's when Trump was one of like the original birthers. And
right.
Obama saw him in the audience. And so anyway, all right, that and a last pass by Bill Maher on people who don't understand what the word genocide means, that you're literally supporting a genocidal organization if you're protesting, if you're camping for Hamas or whatever. That and more in 1 second. We'll be back. AM 770 KTTH.
AM 770 KTTH is here for you. Be a part of the conversation.
Imagine how bad it must be as a parent, be in a position where you can't publicly state any kind of disagreement with a teacher without fear of that teacher's wrath.
Keep yourself informed through our social media.
The president and his administration, his policies, I think that they have led in some ways indirectly to a lot of chaos, instability.
Follow AM 770 KTTH on X, formerly known as Twitter. This is AM 770 KTTH.
Just when I thought a chance had passed, you go and save the best for last.
AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here. Well, producer Greg and I take the final leg of our journey to work is the same, right? It's up I-5, then
yeah.
Lakeview.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you go like me, you go under the convention center and all that because I was here Friday morning, right?
I believe so.
So yes. Were you? I remember you
it
here.
Wasn't just your ghost, right?
So it is. I think I would have noticed something like this, but
on this Friday, right now, the State Patrol is searching for a driver after a deadly.
So Friday morning. Downtown Seattle, we lay our scene.
Run on I-5 in downtown Seattle. Troopers say a 21-year-old woman from Seattle fell from the Madison Street overpass onto the highway below early this morning. We're told a vehicle then hit that woman and kept driving south on I-5. That stretch of the freeway was shut down for 3 hours as part of that investigation. Troopers are still...
I would have noticed. I mean, it was a light show. And I'm just hearing about it now. Come on, hey Seattle media, but anyway, because we're northbound, so they didn't shut those lanes, but they did shut the south lanes. So fell off an overpass and then hit. So that's Anyway, how that happens, I don't know. But it was 3 hours. I don't know. It's I get here at 4, so that's in your window. But anyway. I didn't do it, and I would have pulled over. So whoever you are, there's damage in front of your car, and the front of your car, maybe, because you don't want them putting it together and then wondering why you didn't. Enough of that. So what did we promise we were going to do?
Oh, someone wanted to see if we could have a flashback of when Obama roasted Trump at the White House Correspondents' Dinner in 2012, because many believe that prompted Trump to run for president initially in 2016.
And so this was the White House, was it the Correspondents' Dinner?
Yeah.
Why was he there? Why was he in D.C.?
It was actually April 30th, 2011.
Oh, one is happier. No one is prouder to put this birth certificate matter to rest than the Donald. And that's because he can finally get back to focusing on the issues that matter. Like, did we fake the moon landing?
I mean, he scorched him for 5 straight
he
minutes.
Did.
And the camera just focused on Trump the whole time.
He
and you
made it
see
a,
him
a Trump roast. And this is the guy, this is the least self-deprecating guy on earth. And now he's been president. And this is before he's president. And, you know, I got Obama worship blowback. When I even brought up that topic, like in 2012, and this was 2012. This was
leading up
second
to the
Obama
2012
term.
Election.
Yeah, when he got reelected. Because I was born in the same hospital in Oahu County, and my birth certificate looks nothing like his. And I said it just like that on the air, and I got a talking to. And I said, okay, well, tell me where I'm wrong. But my Kaiser Hospital birth certificate
and I, it was called something different when he was born. At least a birth certificate that they presented. So I'm not bringing that back. I'm not picking a scab on that one. I'm just saying there's that, and I will not present my birth certificate. Actually, there's no critical information. The Social Security number wasn't back then. It wasn't issued till you're like four. Now it's like a month later. Because there used to be a really easy way to get a fake ID. And if you are of a certain age, if you're younger than 30, you can't do this. If you're older than 30, you can go back to your birth year and look in obituaries in wherever you are, the county that you currently live in. Look for a child that died in childhood approximately your age. Apply for that Social Security number. You now have committed fraud federally. But I'd imagine if you want to know the quick and dirty way to get a fake ID, you just learned it.
Changed your name to McLovin? McLovin? What kind of a stupid name is that, Fogle? What, are you trying to be an Irish R&B singer?
So anyway... But it really was a tongue bath for Biden last night, and plus the RFK zinger, so they got that there.
President Biden,
the long knives are officially out for the entire Kennedy clan, and they're out in the Kennedy clan for RFK Jr.
And isn't it crazy that he's only our second Catholic president? And what's even crazier is that in just a few short months, we'll have our third in RFK Jr. I'm kidding. Like his vaccine card says, he doesn't have a shot.
See, because you can hear when he writes a joke, and RFK, and Biden is a punchline, because this would be RFK beating him.
An RFK Jr.
See, it's a so-so courtesy laugh.
But I want to get your take on this.
But when you mock him... Then that's a real media laugh.
There was another comedian there last night named Matt Friend who did some impersonations, and here's how he came across.
Let's face it, folks. I'm on fire right now like the guy outside the courthouse, right?
What?
Not soon enough.
It is. That's legit funny.
But I will tell you, I am killing this dinner harder than Christy Gnome kills the puppies. Moving on, please.
A little darker sense of humor than Colin Jost.
And so anyway, that's over. And so then you'll see the other shoe will drop, the reaction to Christy Gnome. You'll see dog trainers dragged out on The View about why you don't do that and the whole thing. And I mean, it's to real dog people. You know that there's if you declare a dog untrainable, you're reflecting on you. And otherwise, don't get a dog. And that's that. But so anyway, yeah, and as a final check in the texting, where was this one? Someone had a good way to talk about baby reindeer, which was they said, "Hey, we're right." But then I lost it and went away. But anyway, what they effectively said was, "It's a tough watch, but you can't look away." That's a great way to put it. I am curious about the method of euthanization of a 45-year-old hippo. Just Bob says, maybe they can drive the tank, but they still can't back it up or parallel park it. Worth a damn. Now, I've known many, many female frack drivers. I had a real education when the Canadians came down with an all-female, with a couple tank crews of their Leopard 2A5s, and I met up at Gowan Field, Idaho. Very good. Weight is weight, you know, those tracks don't fix themselves, and so there's that. All right, well, that's your Monday, and we will, Burien versus the Sheriff will continue, and other things that are going on. Well, I'll tell you tomorrow how Elon Musk, who I think sees right through China's method, no one's buying EVs, so he's giving up the keys to the kingdom. The auto-driving feature, which now there's a federal probe on the Tesla crash out by Monroe, But he's giving up that code, and I feel like he wants to say, yeah, he can have it. And it will go immediately into Chinese cars. So he's giving up the keys to the kingdom on that just to sell a car in China, because no one here is buying them but Washington and Jay Inslee's $9,000 miracle. All right, see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Dan Bongino's up next. Have a good day. AM 770 KTTH.
I'm pretty tired. Think I'll go home now.
Goodbye.